Well, I appreciate the good singing of this morning. Amen.
Amen.
I could truly say if I could get the preaching up to the singing, then we'd really have something around here, because it sure was good.
That's some of the best singing you're going to hear anywhere. I don't care where you go. That's some of the best you're going to hear. And I appreciate that very, very much.
Amen.
You have your Bibles this morning. We want you to be turning with us to the book of John, chapter number 20. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning as we read God's Word. Beginning reading with verse number 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Now look at me this morning. They said that they saw the linen clothes lying. And the napkin that was about his head was not with the other linen clothes, but was wrapped together in a place by itself. Jewish custom was that if I've come to visit you or I've come to your place, and if I fold my napkin like so and leave it laying, that means I've enjoyed my stay with you, and I'm going to return again. He said to the tomb, he said to this earth, he said to death, he said to you and me, he said, I enjoyed my stay here, but I shall soon return. And he's coming for his own. Amen. He's coming for his own. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do thank you for the Word of God. Our hearts have heard already in song and have felt through the Spirit. God, I pray that you would touch us today. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. We would like to build this morning from this thought. It's in verse number 9. That he must rise again from the dead. He must rise again from the dead. That's our topic. Preacher, why must he rise again from the dead? A lot of reasons. One's found in John 15. Jesus is talking in verse 12 and verse 13. He says, This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Why must he rise again? Number one, for his friends. He called you and me his friends. Why, we ought to be. He came to this earth to bleed and die for us, to take my sins and your sin upon himself and bear them on the cross and shed his blood that you and I might go free. Boy, that sounds like a friend to me. A friend, somebody that'll help you in the time of need. And buddy, was I a needy person. I was in sin over my head and could not be saved, but Jesus came and rescued me. He's my friend. And he gave his life for me. And my friend, he rose again on the third day, so that I would know that even in death, I can live again through Jesus Christ. Why must he rise again? for His friends. He called us friends. Look at that next verse. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. I'm glad to be a friend of Jesus. And I'm glad to have a friend of Jesus. John chapter 10 is another reason that He must rise again from the dead. Not only for His friends, but for His flock. He says in verse 11 of John 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I'm the sheep that went astray. And He's the shepherd willing to give His life that I might live. Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He must rise again because of the flock. All we like sheep have gone astray. He must give His life because He's the good shepherd. The good shepherd, when trouble comes and when the devil's snooping around, the good shepherd don't tuck his tail in. He stays to give His life for His sheep. He said, I'll give myself that you live alone, and I'll give myself. And He said, devil, you are death. You're not claiming my life. I give my life. In fact, I have power to lay it down. He's the only man I know that had power just to will His life to stop and power to start it again. Why must He rise again from the dead? Because of His flock. I'm one of His flock, and I hope you are. But what about John chapter 11, verse number 25? When Lazarus has died, and Mary and Martha's all upset, and Martha's ran out and said in verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now, whatsoever Thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto Him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You and I and Martha are asked a question of Jesus. Do you believe He is the resurrection and life? I know Baptist preachers that do not believe that Jesus got up bodily out of the grave. I don't know how they could preach He's the resurrection if they think He's still in the grave. I have family members that I can go to the tomb and there's a monument saying they're there. I could probably get a shovel and go down deep enough and find the coffin. And if I should unlock it to open it, I'd probably find that their bones are still there. We put flowers there every year. We shed a lot of tears there because we're still sorrowful and grieving about the fact that they've gone on from this life and we miss them so. Sometimes you plant cypress trees or myrtle trees around that place. But their bones are still in that grave. But over in Jerusalem, I've got a friend who was buried. And if you go there, you'll find his body. You may find a lot of people looking around and asking a lot of questions. But he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And I believe this morning he asked us the question, believest thou this? He must rise again
for his friends. He must rise again for his flock, but he must rise again for the faith. He's asking us, do we believe he is the resurrection and the life? He says in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you believe that by faith, you can be saved. And you are saved when you believe that. But if you do not believe that Jesus rose from the dead, if you do not believe that he is the resurrection still today and always will be, and the life, there is no other life except through Jesus Christ. You hear me? Noxzema, my friend, is not going to stop the wrinkling. You can run laps at the track, but you're going to get older. Do all those bar lifts you want to with the weights on them and think you're getting stronger, but time keeps on ticking and your body keeps on aging, and one day death is sure to come. The only way death can be defeated is through the resurrection and the life, which is Jesus Christ. He is the one that you and I must trust, and in no other. He said that he must rise again. Why? For the faith. That is the foundation why you and I are here today. I would not be here did I not believe that Jesus rose victoriously from the dead. I'd be out living it up, doing whatever, playing ball, having a good time, if I did not believe that there was life hereafter. I believe for the faith. My friend, he must rise again. What about, why, preacher, must he rise again? Because it was foretold in the Scripture. I can show you many places in the book of Isaiah, the Psalms, and even in the book of Genesis, where it was prophesied that Jesus would die, that he would come to this earth, born of a virgin, live a sinless life, that he would die a substitute's death for sinners, and then on the third day he would rise again. I can show you in Psalm 16 where he says, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. In other words, he's not going to be dead long. He's going to rise again. It's foretold by the Scripture, but it's also foretold by the Savior. Go with me back to the book of Matthew. Now let's go to John chapter 2 first while we're here in John. Let's see what the Savior said. Why must he rise again? Because it was foretold by our Savior. He was comparing his body to the temple. Look what he says in chapter 2, verse 18. This is after he's cleansed the temple and thrown the money changers out. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what signs showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto him, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? In other words, they're saying, we agree, you might tear it down, but buddy, it took 46 years to build this temple, and you're not going to raise it back in 3 days. But he spake of the temple of his body. You know, the temple of the body of Jesus Christ was greater than the temple in which they dwelled in. You know, the temple of the body of Jesus Christ is greater than this sanctuary you see here that you call Bethel Missionary Baptist Church buildings and its properties. Jesus is greater than all these. And he was speaking of his body. He said, I'm going to destroy this temple, but in 3 days I'm going to rear it up again. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them. And they believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus had said. But we read in John chapter 20, as he first resurrected, they didn't recall what Jesus had said. That he said, I'll destroy this temple, and on the third day raise again. They forgot about that part just for the moment. What about over here in the book of Matthew? Let's go back to Matthew now, chapter number 12. Why must he rise again? Because he foretold it. Verse 38, then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. If he was going to stay longer, he would have told you. But he said, 3 days and three nights, and that'll be it. And my friend, he was prophesying that as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so will I be in the heart of the earth. And you know what? Jesus is as good as his word. What about some other comments he made in Matthew chapter 16 while we're here in Matthew? Peter, he said, who do people say that I am? And some said John the Baptist, and some said Elias and Jeremiah. But Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was a great confession. It's a confession that some of you need to make, that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. After Peter's great confession in verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. He told him, he said, y'all, that's a great confession, and I'm going to be scourged and mistreated, and I'm going to be killed by religious leaders and rulers. But on the third day, I'm going to rise again. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. He rebuked the Savior. He said, this ain't the will of God that bad things would happen to you. Hey, has bad things ever happened to you individually? And you say, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. This is not the will of God. Maybe God's got some things in your life he's allowed those bad things for to make you even better and stronger than you were before. I dare say after my sickness back in October, I felt physically better now than I did before I got sick. Can't tell you why that is. Somehow he made me stronger. Peter rebuked him, and he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. You realize Satan can use another brother or sister to discourage you? Peter, he said, get behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciple, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or for what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Hear me. Why must Jesus rise again? Because he said he was going to rise again. Matthew chapter 20. Verse 17. Oh yeah, preacher, I get it. He's going to tell us again he's going to die. Yeah. He told them time and time again, and still they did not gather. When he went into the tomb and there his body laid, they went away weeping and in all kinds of fears and worries. My friend, they didn't have to be if they'd have just heeded the Word of God. But it's amazing when someone stands to give you the Word of God, how little heeded it really is. Almost like we kind of go through the motions and we pay little attention and heeding to the Word of God. I liken it to a clock striking. This morning we went and preached at Temple Baptist Church, and many of you were there, and we appreciate your great attendance to that service this morning at 7 a.m. And I came home and my clock had stopped, and I didn't even realize it's a wind clock and it strikes on the hour and a half hour, and I didn't even notice it. And I said, you know, I looked up and saw it wasn't moving. And I said, you know, that thing strikes every hour, and I don't even pay it any attention. I sat right there with it, and it don't even bother me. Don't even faze me. Don't hardly ever give it any notice. God spoke to me this morning and said, you need to go wind your clock. It's the way you people feel about your preaching. They sit there, and they hear you tell about me, and it goes in one ear and out the other. Until trouble comes, they pay it very little attention. He said, go strike the clock today. Wind it up and let them know that my Son said he was going to die and suffer for their sins and be raised again. And he did. And let it be known to you today that he said, I'm coming back. And you need to be ready You got ready to come to church today. But are you ready to meet God? Some of you have made funeral home preparations, but are you ready to meet God? My friend, you better be ready in your soul and your spirit to meet the Maker, because as sure as I'm standing here, death will come one day. And the only way to be prepared is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You may say to me, preacher, I've heard you preachers yell and scream about that for years. You're going to hear it another time this morning, friend. You hear it. Noah stood there and said, it's going to rain, children, get in the boat. And they didn't heed his warning and said, ha, it ain't never rained before. You've been preaching this for over 100 years, old man. He ain't going to rain. And then God told Noah, come thou, therefore, and get on the boat. And he shut him in, the rains came. Make believers out of all of them. Problem was, they all died and went to hell. Preacher, are you sure about that? Oh, yeah. They laughed at God. What about Lot when he told them, at Sodom and Gomorrah, it's going to come fire and brimstone, children. You better get ready. Get out of this city and get somewhere else. Well, it ain't never done that before. Hey, it's coming nonetheless. And you may say, well, you preachers been preaching, I'd better be ready. I've got plenty of time. I'll kick back foot loose and fancy free. You'd better be ready, because as sure as he said he was going to die and be raised again, and he was, he said, I'm coming back for you and receive you unto myself, and you better be ready. In Matthew chapter 20, now after the parable of the laborers, and after the transfiguration of Jesus, in verse 17, Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. And he shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day, he shall rise again. Still, he had warned them. Like a clock striking, they paid him no mind. Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. That's the last reference I'll give you. After the Passover supper, known as the Lord's Supper, that last supper that night, he tells them, verse 30, when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, all you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. He said, I'm going to be killed, and I'm going to rise again. Why must Jesus rise again? Because he said so. Preacher, that ain't good enough. It better be. Back to our text in John chapter 20. We're ready to close. Why did Jesus rise again from the dead? For his friends, for his flock, for the faith. Because he foretold it, but it was forgotten by his servants. Verse 9. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. How could they not know? He had told them and told them and told them. And as yet they knew not the scripture. Here today, 200 plus people. You've been told your whole life, Jesus is the Savior of the world. There's no other way but to come through the blood of Jesus Christ. Yet I dare say, probably not all that are gathered here today have truly been born again. You've never took your trip to the altar. You've never bowed your head and your knees and your heart to Him and said, I'm a sinner in need of salvation. You base it off some experience because Grandpa was a good man and Mama was a praying woman and you was tied to her apron strings. That's all well and good, but your family will not save you. You hear me? As yet you know by the Scripture that you must be born again. But my friend, you hear me? As a clock that strikes, you must be born again. And I cannot make that any clearer to you as a people than I am today. Peter and John didn't realize it. They forgot about it. They heard the tomb was empty, they ran in. Peter, my friend, was running, and John outran him because he's younger and he was faster. And God calls different kinds of preachers. He calls some to run, and he calls some just to stand there. Old John, he runs, and he gets there first, but he stops outside. He looks in, stone's rolled away. The tomb's empty. Peter gets there second. He didn't stop. He just kept on going. Some preachers are timid. Some preachers are bold. Peter went in, looked around. John believed. Peter was scratching his head. What has happened here today? Bet they knew not the Scripture that he must rise again. They thought, uh-oh, we're going to be blamed for this. His body's gone, and they're going to say we stole him away. What are we going to do? They're very nervous. Worried. They didn't realize what Jesus was trying to tell them. Mary, you can read in these next few verses. There she is in verse 13. They said unto her, the angel speaking to her, woman, the Lord speaking to her, the woman, why speakest thou? She saith unto him, because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him. She heard him say many times as well that he would suffer and die and on the third day rise again. But now she's weeping. Somebody stole his body, and I don't know where he's at. But we realize, Jesus saith unto her in verse 15, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She's supposing him to be the gardener. Saith unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. In a way that nobody else could say her name. You know, my wife and I are very close. When she uses the word honey, it's got my attention because she says it in a way. Or she says my name, Darren, in a way that I know it's her voice. My dad, I love him. And I love to hear him when he talks to us. And I love to hear him when he's in the church praising the Lord. I'd never seen him shout. I'd never seen him run, leap the pews or anything like that. But I'd seen him weep many times about his boys, his family, about others' troubles. And one night, sitting on the back of one of these benches, my brother was sitting on the back row, and God was dealing with my brother about being saved just a few short years ago. And my brother said, Lord, if I'm not really saved, then you'd let my dad take off running through this church, and I believe then that I need to be saved. And all of a sudden, something got a hold of my dad, and he jumped up and shoom, took off running through the church, and he'd never done that. My brother stood up and bowed his head, and I saw him when he hit that altar, and I knew what it was for. He got saved, and his wife got saved too. I don't know. You may be looking for a sign, but you don't need a greater sign than this, that Jesus rose from the dead to save you. That's the greatest sign, my friend, you'll ever be given. And it's really the only sign you'll ever need. Brother Bobby, I went into the choir this morning. I was sitting on the front row. We're getting ready to start church. God said, I want you to go sing in the choir. Brother Calvin, usually on Sunday morning, I don't go sing in the choir. Try to save my air for me to be able to preach. Get my focus on preaching, not worry about hitting notes because Lord knows I can't hit them, but I try. God said, I want you to go sing in the choir. I said, I want to sit here at the felt. No, you go sing in the choir. I went up there, I got inside Brother Bobby. I got my song book, and I heard amen. Now, a lot of you had said amen, and I wouldn't know which one of you it was that would have said it. But I heard amen. I'm telling you, it was my daddy's voice. And I looked through the congregation to see my daddy because I thought maybe he slipped off from Fletcher and he's sitting in the congregation here. I heard his voice that clearly this morning, Brother Bobby, that clearly. And Brother Calvin, as we started singing that first voice, I was looking for him and I couldn't find him. I was disappointed. And then God said, I'll let you hear that. Now I'm going to let you hear my voice. He spoke to me about what to preach, about what to say, and about what to tell you. And he said my name in the sweetest voice. And I knew it was my Heavenly Father that was speaking. It was a voice that spoke to me the night I got saved. Y'all just bear with me a minute. I'm having a spell. It was a voice that spoke to me the night I surrendered to preach. And it was a voice that spoke to me about my church members. Some of you lost, going to hell, need to be saved. And he spoke to me in the back row of the choir this morning again. He said, you tell them that he must rise again. And you tell them that I'm coming again. And you tell them that they'd better get saved. That was my Heavenly Father's voice. And when I looked for Him, I found Him. He was here and said, where there's two or three gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. And here He is today. What you wouldn't do to hear your mother pray again. What you wouldn't do to hear your loved one speak your name again. But Jesus said to Mary, Mary. She turned herself and said unto Him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. I believe Peter and John got forgiven for not going to Scripture. I believe Mary got forgiven for not knowing the Scripture. I don't know. I'll tell you this. I know He forgave me. I was a sinner in need of forgiveness, and He forgave me. Why did Jesus rise again from the dead? He was delivered for our offenses. And He was raised again for our justification. Preacher, that's a long-haired word. What does it mean? It means just as if I never sinned. Sounds justification. Just as if I never sinned. I know what I've done, Brother Rick. I've done a lot of stuff. I've been a bad boy. I've been very wicked. But when I went to Him and confessed it, He looked at the mercy seat where Jesus' blood was there. He looked at the right hand where Jesus is sitting and said, Son, because you put your blood on the mercy seat for that boy down there, and because you rose again on the third day, I'll forgive him. And I'm going to forget about all he's ever done. And I'm going to justify him. Some of you this morning need to know this. He rose again that you and I could have victory. And we sit here with none. And we're afraid to be emotional, afraid of what our neighbor on the pew beside us will think. Or we're afraid to ask Him when the Lord says, go to the altar. We're afraid to ask Him, could you excuse me, please? Because I need to go pray. I've never been sorry for trusting Him. I don't know about you. You may say, preacher, I didn't come to hear you preach like this. That's all right. My Father's here today. Amen. He told me what to do. Amen. And your Father's here today, too, if you're saved. And if you're not saved, you better make Him your Father. And you can do it today. You'd stand with me this morning. I believe He's through with me. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Believest thou this? Sister Carrie, if you'd come to the piano. All heads are bowed. There's nobody looking on the service today. Regina, wherever you're at, if you'd come to the piano. Your head's bowed. There's nobody looking on the service this morning, I wonder. And say somebody here today, say, preacher, that voice she's talking about, I've heard my mama's voice, and she ain't even here no more. I've heard my daddy's voice, and they're not around. I know what she's talking about. And I've also heard the voice of God. I heard the voice of the Heavenly Father speak to me. This morning, I want to be obedient to Him. I wonder, what He speak to you about? Is there a need of salvation? Is there a thanks that just needs to be given for His resurrection, for His suffering? This morning as she begins to play, I'm going to pause just for a few brief moments. I'm going to ask you, would you come? Kneel at the cross. There's room for you this morning. You'd better know that you know, my friend. There come one. Who else needs to come? Bless you. You get it straight. Thank Him. Praise Him. Hallelujah. He didn't have to do anything for us, but He did. Folks are moving. If you all would just think this morning what's going on in this church, you know what I see hitting altar? The youth in the church. Some of you older ones ought to be ashamed. They laid in that altar saying, oh God, how we love you and thank you for saving us. I want to see you save more. Or you get the youth on fire. Devil better look out. It's the youth that's moving this morning. What about some of you older ones?
God spoke to, you'd better slip out. You'd better be obedient to the Spirit of God this morning. Preacher, he saved 20-some in the last few weeks. Hey, he can do more if he wants to. You ain't saved, you just tell him. You get my attention, I'll pray with you. He'd save you today if you call on him. Our Father, in your presence we bow. We thank you for the blessed resurrection. The fact that Jesus suffered and took all my sin, washed me that I might be saved, rose again that I might be justified. Father, I thank you for victory today. And these folks in this church is claiming victory. Victory, victory, victory is what they need in their life over what they're going through. God, I pray you'd hear their prayer. God, I thank you for these youth that's been laying this all these last few weeks. God, you're doing something through them and in them, God, that we as adults need to catch. And I bless you for that. Father, I pray for this church. I thank you for letting me hear the voice of my Heavenly Father today. God, making me keenly aware to it. And I pray, God, you'd help others to be heeding the voice of God. Father, I pray today you'd bless this people that's come. Encourage them, I pray. Why must Jesus rise again? For his friends, you called me your friend. For his flock, you called me your sheep. And I'm glad I know your voice. For the faith that if I shall confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that God hath raised him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. I'm thankful for that. And because it was foretold by my Savior, I'm glad what he says he's going to do. When he speaks, it'll come to pass. Oh, Lord, for our forgiveness. Thank you for that, Father. Lord, we bless you. We pray you'd encourage this people this day. For it's in Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. We will be having service tonight at 6 o'clock. You may say, Preacher, I've been to the sunrise service. Can I lay out tonight? Now, come on. You know, ought to know better than lay out on Easter Sunday night. For all I know, there may be other churches that do call off, and if they do, then they're welcome to come here. You tell them, say, I know where there'll be a church door open, but I strongly advise you to be here yourself, okay? I hope you have a wonderful Easter, and I hope today you really know the Resurrector, Jesus Christ. He is the resurrection and the life. Appreciate the good singing we've heard today. Appreciate your attendance. All hearts and minds clear. All right. Brother Seth, come on up here. Maybe there's some of you who say, Preacher, I need to be baptized. Brother Seth, I think, said, I want to be baptized. There may be others of you who say, I want to join the church this morning by coming as a candidate for baptism. If you just got saved, you need to be baptized. Anybody else need to come? I remember I spoke one time about seeing this church line up wall to wall with people getting saved and baptized and joining the church. I believe today it's going to happen. I really do. Look at this. Hallelujah to God. You just got saved. You need to consider coming home, being a candidate for baptism. Anybody else need to come this morning? Don't you look, it's almost wall to wall. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. You see, he's a God of his word.
Amen.
Ain't God good? Amen. Every one of y'all look at me. Every one of y'all get saved.
Amen.
Every one of you got saved. Amen. Want to be baptized?
Yes.
Amen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. 16 out of 20. There's probably some still need to come. I don't know if they're here this morning or not. Brethren, every one of them by name, I want to ask you this. Based on their testimony, and they've testified to this in the last 2 or 3 weeks. What's the pleasure of church? We received them as a candidate for baptism to join Bethel Missionary Baptist Church.
Move we do.
As a lot. As a move. Do I hear a second?
Second. All in favor, raise your right hand. Thank you. Any oppose that? For any reason, like sign. If you do, you need to get saved. All right. We'll dismiss today. We'll give these the right hand of fellowship. And I know everybody can't gather around. You're going to be at liberty to go as soon as we pray. I'm going to ask Dennis this morning. Dennis, if you'll dismiss us in prayer, we do thank you for coming.
Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for one more time allowing us to come into your house, Lord. We thank you for this Easter Sunday. Lord, we thank you for the resurrection. Because, God, we know that if it hadn't been for the resurrection, Lord, there wouldn't be anything for us to be here. God, we just thank you for salvation this morning. Lord, we thank you for all these souls that's standing up here this morning, Lord, that's got saved. Lord, heaven's bells rang and the devil was defeated one more time. God, I just pray now that you'll go with us through this day, Lord. God, just watch over us and care for us and meet back with us tonight, Lord. And God, we'll bow and give you the praise for it all because it's in the wonderful name of Jesus that we ask it. Amen.
Y'all just take these chairs and just...